Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hello, everybody. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And welcome to Intimate Moments, the marriage counseling show, where we make sure that you work on your marriage. You are going to God whenever there are challenges, struggles and everything. You don't close yourself in that corner and say, I give up. We want you to work on it and make sure that you build your marriage. Thank you so much for joining us. That was a beautiful song opening up for us. We're here every Fridays from 10 till 12 on Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, channel 882 on your DSTV. You can even always go to our website and stream live to www.radiopulpit.co.za. My name is Amanda Makabuka. We're here for you. Thank you so much. Please invite your friends, your family, go on that WhatsApp group, go to that colleague that is always complaining about his spouse, and tell him that please come join us here on Intimate Moments, where we discuss marriage issues. You know, every week we have topics. We bring you guests, your marriage counselors, your pastors, those who have been married for many years, who have experience, so that you can ask them, how did they make it? Because you want to tap into that. You want to celebrate that, those 20 years, 30 years, 50 years anniversaries. By you listening to Intimate Moments, it is possible. This is a God-ordained show. Your marriage can work, man. Please trust God. Believe in God for your marriage. I always say, ma'am, that marriage is supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. It's a God thing. It's beautiful. Whenever we discuss these marriage topics here, I always feel like God is with us. The Holy Spirit is here. And you just feel the beauty of marriage. That's marriage. Marriage is a beautiful thing. So let us quickly go to a song. We're going to come back and then we introduce our guest who's here with us on Intimate Moments.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Intimate Moments right here on Radio Pulpit with me, Amanda Makabuka. I'm not alone tonight. As you all know, I always bring your marriage counselors, your marriage coaches, relationship coaches, everyone who God has equipped for this marriage life. And I have a Pastor T. I wrote Pastor T here. Pastor Tabeka Dlamini. Am I saying it right?
Yes, you're saying it right.
Yes, yes. And my other name is Tobeka.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, my first name is Tobeka,
so we're
by the
twinning.
Way.
It's a special name. I love the name Tobeka. It's a special
you.
Name.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Intimate Moments. Please greet our listeners tonight.
Well, greetings to all our listeners. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor to be here, and I'm hoping that the next 2 hours will be impactful, both for us and also for them, wherever they are listening from. And we trust that healing and restoration will be their portion.
Amen.
As we engage.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for accepting our invite. I know you don't know us, but I made sure we have our ways to get people here.
Yeah.
For those who don't know who Pastor Tobeka Dlamini is, can you please just
Okay. Tobeka Dlamini, firstly, is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'm a pastor, co-pastoring with Pastor M. Dlamini, mm-hmm. under Dunamis Altar International. I'm mm-hmm. co-pastoring with him
mm-hmm.
In Namafias, next okay. to Mamelodi, Namafias, Pretoria.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a coach, mm-hmm. and I'm also, on top of coaching, I'm running a coaching hub called mm-hmm. Toby D.
All right.
Coaching Hub, where I'm specializing mostly with marriages, families, and teenagers.
Wow.
So that is where my heart is. It's with families and with teenagers.
Okay.
I do a little bit of work with schools. I'm just interested more in the foundational development of human lives, whether it's within the family, whether it's within the schools.
Okay.
I'm more interested in the foundational phases of human development. Because I really have a conviction that if we get intervention on that level, then we don't have to deal with many social ills at a later stage. So I did do my studies then. In psychology on my undergrad,
okay,
and then post my undergrad, then I did coaching as well,
okay,
so that I could be relevant to sort of the burdens that I have in terms of intervention. But hopefully, in the next 2 years, I'm also branching into something more intensive, just to make sure I align myself for the mandate further. But it was Tobega. Tobega is just a God lover. I'm a person who wants to be impactful and a person who wants to make a difference with the time that God has given me. Since we're not here forever, so we might as well make it meaningful. We might as well make a difference whilst we're here.
Yes.
So that's me in a nutshell.
Amen to that. Yeah. So how long have you been married for?
I've been married for 16 years now.
Wow.
Yes, by grace. I was married in 2009, May the 1st. So it's been 16 years of grace.
Sure.
I can never really attribute being married for long to any arm of flesh or any, you know, personal abilities. It's really the grace of God. And obviously then working with God and with those that he has put around you in terms of counselors and those that you are accountable to, to make sure that you make it work, to make sure that you change where you need to change and make the necessary changes. And yeah, it's grace. It's really grace. Yeah, 16 years it's been.
Yeah.
I also can't believe it. Yeah, I also can't believe it.
Wow, wow. So in one sentence, what can you say marriage is?
I believe that marriage was God's vision, you know, for preserving his purpose from one generation to another. I really believe that there is assigned grace for families that God has apportioned for families, mostly to preserve the seed of righteousness, and to preserve the seed of faith, which can move on from one generation to another. And that's why I really believe that we should take the issue of marriage very seriously, because I believe that's sort of like where God grooms greatness. If we look at the life of Jesus, you know, and how he came about and all the complications that were in his family with Joseph wanting to run away and her not being really sure what's going on, but God needed to just put him in a family setup so that greatness could be sort of incubated you know, until it can reach its full capacity. So I believe that family nurture is where God nurtures and grooms greatness and where he preserves the seed of righteousness for the next generation.
Oh wow, thank you so much for that. As we said, that we have topics we discuss every week on Intimate Moments. There's a topic that I sent you, and I loved your honesty about it.
it's very important. Maybe just to come in there. It's very important if you invited anyone to speak or to give a contribution, that you don't take a topic that you probably haven't mastered or gone through yet or haven't done much studying in, because then I believe you don't do justice. You might have pointers on it, but you don't do justice to the topic. So that's why I was just quick to say, no, I don't think I'm ready to address the initial topic that you had in mind, but we can have a look at something else.
Yeah,
I'm glad you made that provision.
Yes, because we want to make impact here.
We want to make impact. We don't want to say a whole lot of nothing.
All right. Our Our topic for today is healing and restoration in marriage after emotional and spiritual battles. What does healing and restoration mean to you in the context of marriage?
Well, in the context of marriage, let me start with restoration, then I'll go to healing. I believe in the context of marriage, restoration has to do with the unit of the marriage that you are in going back to its original purpose. And by purpose, I'm not only referring to mandate, only what you're supposed to do. I think purpose encompasses how you treat each other.
Yes.
Purpose encompasses God's vision for you as a unit. Purpose aligns with you know, having guidelines and proper principles running your marriage and not having some things that we've adopted from the culture today, these new age teachings and feminisms and all these sorts of things that have infiltrated. So for me, marriage is going back to God's original intent about marriage and running it in that way and no other way. And then when we talk about healing, maybe what I want to highlight is that how do we know physically that our bodies need healing? We know because we have something that is dysfunctional at that time and it needs attention. And when it's attended, our whole system flows freely post the healing. So whether you consulted a doctor or you prayed over yourself, whichever way, when we talk about healing, we're also talking about the whole, you know, synergy in marriage running as intended. We're not saying there will never be problems, but the communication is effective, the intimacy is effective. And so when we talk about healing, we talk about a marriage running as intended in terms of its functional structures.
Okay.
Yeah, meaning when we say a marriage is healed, we're not saying it's perfect.
Yeah.
We're saying that, I mean, you are healthy, right?
Yes.
But now and again, you get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have got a tumor, then we have to get the tumor out for you to be healthy. So it's the same as a marriage. You could have a serious threat to it that needs to be attended. But occasionally, you'll have your headache. Occasionally, you'll have your disagreements. But it's a healthy space to function. So that's my understanding.
Yeah. All right. So tell me, how do you differentiate between emotional battles and spiritual battles?
You know, when I saw this question, I paused a bit because for some reason it's sort of interlinked, and I'll tell you why. You can have an emotional problem. Let's say you're experiencing grief. And that becomes an open wound. It's an emotional issue that you are navigating within a marriage. Let's say you lost a parent or you lost a child or whatever. But I find that this is a tendency that I've realized with working with couples for some time now, is that the enemy then thrives on the emotional wound to bring the spiritual battle. So the spiritual battle is sort of attracted by that wound. So you find that maybe a person that's struggling to navigate grief suddenly is trying to find a pain number. Then they are introduced in all sort of pain numbers and addictions and so. So I find that it's interlinked in a sense that you could go through something emotional, but if it perpetuates long enough and a person is not able to sustain maybe in that pain, any spiritual attack that comes and goes for that wound, that wound becomes an entry point. I don't know if I'm making sense. So you can be having a normal emotional problem within a marriage, but then the enemy uses it as an entry point, and spiritually now it becomes an attack through the wound of grief or through the wound of rejection, whatever it is that you're experiencing within your marriage. So they are interlinked in that way. They are two different things, but they are interlinked in a way that one usually then gives room to another if it's not attended properly.
So how do you make sure that you don't open this door for the enemy to come? You are emotionally battling, but how do you make sure that the enemy now does not come and put that spiritual battle in?
Let me explain something to you. I don't know if you realize what happened post COVID. A lot of couples were going through a lot before COVID. But when the spiritual attack of COVID came, it put pressure on already existing problems. So the main thing that I believe couples should do when they are navigating an emotional problem. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. One thing that we fail to realize as couples is that so long as we are in this life, we'll be navigating something. But in our navigation, we are not in consensus.
I'm still going to get to the other points on
how do you bring yourself into your spouse's world and understand where they are and what they are navigating. So how we should safeguard ourselves in times of emotional distress, because they come to anybody, is firstly to have the relevant confidence, which means you have a person who is an outlet, who is mature enough to give you sound advice when you need it. Is to keep your inner man strengthened, meaning you have a consistent spiritual haven, or your time where you are feeding your spirit, so that your spirit, your what is happening in your soul does not overpower the strength of your spirit. And then thirdly, you have to have to be in a place where in your relationship you have to build a place that is safe for your spouse, meaning to a certain extent, your spouse has to be an outlet. As much as you have a confidant, as much as you can speak to God, as much as you have other maybe spiritual leaders or counselors, you have to have a spouse that you can be able to say, I'm bleeding over here, and you have a space to express that, and you are not seen as weak, and you are not seen as failing. In that way, you have guarded yourself in every way, because you have put your spouse in a place where they understand where you are. You have strengthened your inner man to sustain in that challenge. And you have a place where you can be naked and speak without editing to say, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling frustrated, and these are the emotions that I'm experiencing. So I feel we need to put systems in place for the times of sort of emotional distress or emotional problems or intensive emotional, you know, seasons in our marriage.
Wow. All right, listener, I hope you have your notebook, because you need it. You need it tonight. So, Pazuti, can you share some real-life examples, general, not personal, of these struggles?
Well, struggles are many. You know, I've interacted with couples where I realized that, sure, if we don't talk more about navigating challenges as couples, people will leave marriages really for minimal, really minimal problems. Maybe I can quote from my own life. You know, I went through a time where I lost my dad to COVID, but it was my dad and my uncle that passed on sort of like 2 weeks apart. And obviously then there were other close family friends that we lost. We lost quite a lot of people. In fact, counting from 2020 to 2025, in my family and extended, we've lost about 12 in total in just a short space of time. And so then last year, my husband had to also, I mean, my husband lost his mother as well. So my mother-in-law passed on last year. And if you look at the time frame of all the losses, without insight and wisdom, it's very easy to lose each other in that process, because we don't deal with things the same. Some people are talkers. Some people, they shut down. Have you heard of flight and fight? Some people, in order to deal with pain, they work more and, you know, become more active, not giving themselves time to process. Some people, they will rather stop, process, heal before they move. So I think the time caught me where, you know, it caught us where I'm still grieving my dad. Then my mother-in-law, we had a very strong bond. So I'm still grieving my dad. Then my mother-in-law dies. Then I have to be there for my spouse whilst I'm grieving my dad and my mother-in-law. So it is very easy in that process to feel drained, because you have to be there for a spouse, and also you have to process your own emotions at the same time. And remember, those are not the only two challenges you might be having. You might be having other external challenges on top of grief and all that. And I think what is important, as I've mentioned to you, navigating such, because the devil can take advantage of the seasons that we go through. Like I said, any wound that is open and that is bleeding, he can see it as an opportunity to minister certain things to you. Maybe even make you resentful of God himself. Just say, why did he allow so much to happen at the same time? So I'm just talking of just one season where now you need wisdom from God and understanding to say, maybe your partner might not be as strong for you at this point because they themselves are going through something. I think that is also very important to note is that You need to sometimes come out of what you're experiencing and look at the situation from outside to say, the kids are grieving, you're grieving, your family is also grieving, so your spouse is grieving. So, and everybody is manifesting differently during the grief, and it needs extra understanding. It needs more communication, I think, because when you're in that place, you know, when you have a wound and somebody steps on you, you jump quicker than than when you would if you didn't have a wound. So you, in that phase, have to extend grace. Because if you don't, then you might find yourself perpetuating the pain of the other person. And also, beyond perpetuating that pain, feeling like a victim and not accounting for your behavior because you feel like, I'm the one who's experiencing loss. I'm the one who's going through this. So I'm just giving a life example that you can be going through a valid pain. It's an emotional pain. But then now the attack comes and becomes spiritual. Because now the devil wants to ride on that wave. And that is when you need wisdom and you need understanding to navigate. And you need God. So that you can discern where the other person is and be able to sometimes, you know, lower your expectations on that person because they're carrying heavy and not take everything personally. So, yeah, that's just in a nutshell. I was just giving you an example of what could happen when you have just an emotional attack and then you find that other things also go wrong in the process. Then you can say, okay, now there's like sort of a spiritual connotation to all of this because it wants to hit you, whilst you're down. And then it takes wisdom and understanding to navigate.
So why do you believe that this topic is important for couples in 2025?
Sure. You know, Sis Amanda, I'm realizing more and more that we are training so much for our professions. Like now a person who's employed is now thinking of their next promotion, so they're upskilling for that promotion. They let me polish up my communication skills, let me polish up my leadership skills, whatever the case is. And I'm finding that couples are so complacent when it comes to getting knowledge on how to navigate. Actually, if I were to propose over and above the Bible and spiritual books, I would propose that Christians read on human behavior. So that they get to understand why some things are not personal. Some things is just a human being failing to cope with something. And then that thing is projected on you and it has nothing to do with you. And if I had my way, I would have most, I mean, all of us enroll, even if it's an informal course. It doesn't have to be a paid course. It's just something on human behavior. Because I think we, When we come to loggerheads, we become victims and we are recipients of injustice and all of those things. And sometimes that's not the fact. Sometimes you are dealing with somebody who's wounded and who needs healing. But now because they have no outlet, you are the next, you are the closest person to them. So they're going to, all that stuff is going to come out on you because you are the closest. And remember, we, no matter how you grow up, you found a way to navigate. It's what you call defense mechanisms. And so if you were in an abusive home, you learned how to shut down. But now when you're in a marriage, you can't shut down. You're going to the same bed as the person. The person's going to ask you, what is wrong with you? You can't close the door as when you were growing up. And so now a person is hitting a wall because you were used to shutting down to deal with things. Now you don't have room to shut down. We need to know what's going on with you because you're acting crazy. We don't understand what's wrong with you. So more than ever in 2025, as your question is asking, couples should seek knowledge. if you can seek knowledge for your next promotion, you can seek knowledge for your marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's critical because that is your legacy.
Mm.
That is your place of impact. That is one place where you'll be found,
where
we will measure we will measure your impact. So how you have raised your kids. That's why we have so many people that are public successes and private failures, because for them it's about accolades and what they can show.
Sure.
And behind the the walls they are failing. And if we can put effort into studying masters, honors, PhDs and all of that, I think we can put effort in trying to understand just the nature of a human, how a human processes emotions, how they deal with hurt, how they deal with trauma, and all of those things. And so it will help us to navigate certain things.
Wow.
Yeah. So knowledge for couples now in 2025 more than ever. And it's all over. Knowledge is all over. Okay, I'm not talking about the negative knowledge that sometimes is on TikTok, all this feminism stuff and men are trash and all of those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm like talking about articles. I'm talking about books, online books, where if you fail to understand something, just grab a book and just gain understand. Oh, that's why my wife is like this. She grew up in such an environment. It helps you to give grace instead of dictating and imposing. Knowledge really makes a huge difference, and even so divine knowledge, but maybe we'll talk about that another day.
And knowledge is everywhere, as you've just said. All right, let us quickly go to a break. We can see that Pastor T is prepared. We want you to put everything that the Lord has installed in you. Thank you so much. Let us go to a break. We are coming back.
For 44 years, Radio Pulpit has been a voice of hope, faith and love in homes across South Africa. This August, as we celebrate our birthday, we want to share that same hope with those who need it most. There are precious children in our communities who lack even the most basic essentials. Our birthday wish? To bless them with love in the form of school stationery, toiletries, and other essentials. We invite you to be part of this beautiful act of giving. Drop off your donations at our offices in Kilner Park, Pretoria. If you're not sure what to bring, visit radiopulpit.co.za for the full wish lists. These heartfelt gifts will be given to the children at homes such as Jacaranda, Louis Borta, and Marista. Let's make our 44th birthday a celebration they'll never forget, because every child deserves to feel loved. Radio Pulpit, 44 years of hope, sharing it forward. Feel the pulse of real life on 657 AM.
This is Intimate Moments with me, Amanda Makabuka. I'm here with Pastor T discussing marriage issues. Our topic for tonight is healing and restoration in marriage after emotional and spiritual battles. We have introduced the topic. Now we are understanding the battles.
Yes, we're understanding the battles,
So tell me, Pastor T, what are the most common triggers or causes of emotional battles in marriage?
So, yeah, emotional battles, it's a very big one. Mostly unhealed wounds. unhealed wounds are like the first biggest trigger when it comes to some of the emotional challenges within a marriage. Because you might find somebody that maybe grew up being abused. And that person, in their being abused, they learn to just be in a corner all the time. And so when that person is now in a marriage and they are confronted for wrong behavior, they see confrontation as abuse. You know, depending as well on how a person was raised, a person who was always talked down on, even when you're trying to communicate politely, they associate being called out with being spoken down to, no matter how politely you may be addressing the matter. So depending on what a person has undergone in their life, from their infancy to the time they get married, it does have an impact on how they relate to you as a spouse. That's really the unfortunate part. And I know that we like to wash it down in Christians and say, no, behold, the old is gone and the new has come. But if you really also assess scripture, you will realize how whenever God called anybody, the first thing that they will refer to is their circumstances or what has happened. Mm-hmm. You know, with Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth was saying, no, I'm a dog. I don't deserve to sit at the king's table. So somehow the past always comes up. And if I were to highlight is that marriage is one of the biggest highlighters of your hidden pain, because it will trigger you on all levels.
Sure.
No, more so because at any point in your life, maybe there was not anybody who got to know you on that level. And so you feel exposed because you can't hide your weaknesses, you can't hide your wounds, you can't hide your traumas. They are highlighted in marriage. Now, the unfortunate thing that happens is that when they get highlighted, it becomes an issue of the couple fighting about it instead of getting to the source of the problem, that you need healing or I need healing. I'm suffering from this and you're suffering from that. Let me give you a scenario. A person who was abandoned as a child now marries somebody, let's say, who grew up in a family where, you know, there was love and there was enough love. So when they now, the two of them come together, the other one is clingy, the other one is sort of detached. And the other one is now, the one who's clingy is now blaming the one who's detached because they're feeling, but you're not there for me in a way that I want you to be there for me. You know, they don't understand that there's a void from how they were raised. There's a void from how they were socialized and integrated into society. So one of the triggers is definitely unhealed wounds, but I've also discovered that there's a couple of other triggers, but these ones are sort of cousins of unhealed wounds, because when you're triggered, it's obviously a sign that something is wrong, or something went wrong somewhere. So my advice to couples is that whenever you find yourself triggered, ask yourself, why am I triggered like this? What happened in my past that is making me feel like this? And you will always land to the answer if you go back hard enough. Some people do it through therapy, but it's something that you can also do through yourself, trying to understand, why is it that when people always confront me, I'm dismissive? Then you can always trace it either to an incident or your parents' parenting style on how they addressed you guys. Maybe whenever somebody calls you out, you feel unworthy because your mistakes were highlighted more than your strengths. I'm talking about things like that. But so those old wounds or unhealed wounds have, they hide themselves. They've got cousins. So they come along with pride. They come along with a closed heart, and they come along with dismissiveness. So you find that in a marriage, this is where emotional problems explode, where you're dealing with a partner that can never acknowledge any wrongdoing. They are always right. And they will never find themselves at a point where they can say sorry. That pride is a sense of protection for themselves, because maybe they grew up in environments where they were not good enough, so they cannot fail at something else. They can't be found failing at something else. And so when you point out a mistake to them, you are saying, you are not good enough. You are not doing enough. You are not man enough. And so this happens a lot. And it's a cousin of an unhealed wound. It shows up a lot in males in marriage, but there's also a lot of females I've dealt with in my sessions that are very proud, like prouder than you'd ever think. Like they can never do anything wrong, and the marriage revolves around them. It's their needs and what must happen and what they want. And so that's always a sign that there's somewhere in there a wound that is not healed. Then a closed heart, where you're trying to love somebody, but they've got walls around them. themselves. That's a trigger for a lot of, it triggers a lot of emotional problems, because you can never be vulnerable with that person. You can never speak your heart and they hear you. You can never penetrate where they are in their thoughts or in their heart. You sort of become roommates, you know, because you can't penetrate. You can't be intimate with them on an emotional level. So that type of behavior triggers a lot of emotional problems in a marriage, because now you are in a marriage alone. basically. So you're navigating alone. You're not, you don't know when a person is caring too much. You don't know when whether they're coping, they're not coping. You don't know whether you are meeting their needs or you're not. So their heart is sort of like closed towards you. And then also one of the, I think what I left out of, or dismissiveness, it goes under, you know, when people pretend the problem is not there. Yeah, you've got people like that in marriage. It's like there's a big elephant in the room. They will come in the house, go around the elephant, like it's not there. It doesn't exist. The problem doesn't exist. And I don't know where people get that style of navigating, because just because you don't acknowledge that it's there doesn't mean it's not there. If a marriage has a problem, it's got a problem. But dismissiveness is also a sense of like a self-defense type of a thing. You are shielding yourself from dealing with the difficult issues. Could also stem from unhealed wounds from your past. Then there's a big issue that triggers emotional problems in the marriage. It's ignorance. You're ignorant of why you are married. Because every marriage must have a vision. Why are you here? Why are you together? What are you trying to achieve? So people are following blindly to nowhere slowly. And that is a trigger, especially if you are a man and you are leading a woman that has a vision and a woman that is driven and a woman that is a go-getter. It can be a problem to be ignorant as a man of your own vision and the vision you have for this family. Where are you taking this family to? Ignorance on people's, you know, I find that even women don't know what men need. I've been in sessions with women where women are completely disrespectful, like even in the session that you're having, and you're very confused, because if it's like this in front of a stranger, how is it like behind the scenes? So there's ignorance really as to the needs of a man and the needs of a woman. Some I asked one guy one time. I said, "What makes your wife tick?" And the guy said to me, "Nigerian movies." And, you know, I couldn't laugh. I was saddened, actually. I actually laughed after the session. But I was saddened during the session, because I was trying, oh, my word, out of all the things that could make it tick, that's the one thing you could come to. But I'm trying to say, you'd be shocked at how many people stay together and they're so ignorant of each other's needs. They're so ignorant of each other's interests. So ignorance is a big one, because we all want to be with somebody who understands us and who has gotten to know us. And when you feel like your spouse, everything is going over their head, it gets concerning, because, oh my word, this is my partner for life. What am I going to do? He doesn't understand my vision. He doesn't understand what I want to do. Just completely ignorant. You find people that are smart in other things. IT, you know, leadership, CEO, but completely clueless as to what the family needs. So ignorance is quite a big one. It triggers a lot of emotional struggles in a family, because an ignorant person doesn't even know how to communicate. They don't have a way of saying things. They don't know how to feed your soul with just affirmations and just reassuring you. For them, life is just a ride. Let's just wake up and go. And so ignorance is a contributor to a lot of emotional challenges.
You know, as you are talking, instead I'm saying, we really need these sessions.
Completely.
Because there are things that you're saying, and I come back to myself. I'm like, okay. If I was in a session with you now, just that I'm here. Because some things you don't understand. Why do I react this way?
Why am I so touchy? Sometimes you find yourself a little sad around certain times of the year. Maybe it's Christmas. Then you need to identify, why is it? Oh, yeah. It's because I lost my dad around Christmas time. Okay. Now you're able to regulate it because you now understand, why am I here and why am I reacting like this? You understand? Why does my husband want to hear me immediately after work? Okay, chances are at work things are not easy. Chances are he's caring a lot. Chances are he's feeling like he's failing. Chances are he's going through a lot of pressure. Okay, so if I want to talk to him about something sensitive, let me wait for Saturday when he's relaxed, when he's laid back, when he's more at ease. So I think ignorance is causing a lot of emotional strain in marriages. And if we were to get insight and knowledge in that area, we can navigate most half our problems.
Mm.
Because then you are able to give the person space to regulate whatever, you know, and learn how your spouse navigates challenges. If he's a person who prefers peace, then give him the peace to navigate.
Yeah.
Don't come and ask, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Now you are in his space and he needs the silence at that time. So, yeah, ignorance is killing a lot of our relationships.
Sure. Pastor C, there are people who, like, I'm sure you know this kind of people also. Like, everything is a spiritual attack.
Yeah. Yes, I know those. Even their own things that they are doing, their own mistakes, they attribute them as spiritual attacks. Yeah, they don't.
Like, it's an attack. We are attacked. It's spiritual. Yeah. So now, how can one discern when a marriage is struggling? This one is not a spiritual attack. This one is a.
You need to take accountability and judge. I actually did a video on this one, I think earlier this year, but it was a short clip that I did. I said there are problems that need changed behavior within the marriage, meaning if you are moody and grumpy, that needs to change. Yeah, we're not going to pray about that. You need to adjust that behavior, and that behavior has to change because it's not contributing to the welfare of the marriage. Then there are problems that, so there are problems that can be solved by change behavior. There are problems that can be solved by prayer and taking them to God, right? Those are your problems that are sort of long-standing. You know, your spouse is applying for a job. It's been 3 years. You can see he's actively applying every day, but the job is not coming. So that cannot be blamed on the spouse if he's putting effort in putting out, you know, his CV out there. That's a thing you take to God in prayer. That's not a thing that you belittle your spouse about and talk down to them about that. Yeah, Lou, it's been 3 years. You're not working. I'm struggling alone and this and this and that. And then there are problems that need counselors to navigate. That is your pastors, your psychologists, your professional counselors, because sometimes you find that the issues are deeper than what is on the surface, you understand? So how you know that something, you know, we get spiritual attacks that are sort of intrinsic, and then we get spiritual attacks that are extrinsic, meaning you can have your own fights with your past. Maybe you find that somebody's married, maybe as a teenager they committed an abortion. Now they are struggling to forgive themselves, and they so they have sort of an internal turmoil. We could attribute that not so much to what they did, but now that is used an attack upon that person's life to now steal the quality of their life, steal their peace, steal the, what do you call it, the joy in the marriage. You understand? So You get, maybe I can talk about the sort of the signs that this could be a spiritual attack.
Okay.
I think we can go into that. When you have a problem in your marriage that is prolonged, you know, you've been praying about it for years now. You've been talking to God about it. You've been seeking counselors and nothing is changing. You've adjusted your behavior to make sure that maybe certain things don't happen, but they continue to be happening. It's prolonged. You know, I don't want to term what prolonged could be. It could be 3 years, could be 5 years, could be 10 years. That could be that it's an orchestration against your marriage to steal the peace of your marriage. It's now becoming a stronghold in your marriage. I'm not saying that there are couples that don't wait long for answers. I mean, you get it. Sometimes God can answer after 10 or 15 years for something that you've wanted. But now I'm talking about a problem that is a thorn and it's prolonging. It could be that now that is a spiritual attack to drain the life of the marriage. Secondly, how you see that something is a spiritual attack, it's when it starts spilling to other areas of your marriage negatively. So it starts spilling over to the kids. So it's not just affecting you, it's affecting the kids, it's affecting the extended family, it's affecting your finances, it's affecting, like, I know people used to justify gambling. that, gambling, you're just trying to make more money. But it's affecting the livelihood of the family. It's affecting your planning. It's affecting your savings. It's affecting, that's how you know that something is, that this addiction is now an attack on the family. And then obviously, if you start picking up the same pattern that you are seeing in your marriage, in your husband's family, or in your family, then you must know it's a spiritual attack. Because now it's generational. This thing is now moving from your husband's side of the family and infiltrating your home. So if you start seeing patterns of what you're going through, but when you check your husband's family or your family, you find that you are going through the similar patterns, then it's something that needs to be addressed spiritually. And obviously, how you know it's a spiritual attack is that it's suffocating the livelihood of your marriage and the health and the function of your marriage. Then you must know that, okay, now this is abnormal, because the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. So if it's stealing joy and it's killing the intimacy, eventually it wants to destroy the marriage. So you must see signs of, is it Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15? It says, catch for us the little foxes, because they devour the vineyard. So there's little foxes every day. Those little foxes are spiritual attacks, because if you want to lose a lot of water in a bucket, you just prick a little hole. And by the time you come in the morning, there's no water in the in the bucket. So I feel sometimes we think spiritual attacks are big things. Sometimes it can be daily things that are just sucking the life out of the marriage, until one big attack comes, like 2020. Then some marriages did not survive it, because it came on top of a whole lot of things that were going wrong. So some couples could not navigate that. There was too much going on at the same time.
Oh, my word. All right. We might not ask all the questions that
not
you sent.
Some have overlapped.
Some you answer them before we ask. You get what I'm saying? So, but I love that. Let us quickly go to a song. We are coming back. There's a lot we're going to discuss here on Intimate Moments.
No hassles, no frills. It's just sounds full of life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.